Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Medium's Insights Hour, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation and Signs of Life Radio. My name is Roman Karpyshka, and as your host with partial laryngitis, I'm very excited to welcome Angelina Diana back to the show. Angelina, she's a really special person. She's motivated to work towards the greater good of the world, and her whole work ethic is dedicated to healing through mediumship. Her grandmother was a medium and regularly engaged in the open use of tarot cards. But, you know, Angelina didn't pay much attention to those practices. But while working as a radio newscaster on an assignment exploring the legitimacy of psychic mediums, she discovered her own heritage. So ever since then, she's enjoyed a very successful career in mediumship work. And she was one of the original mediums certified by FFF, the Forever Family Foundation. She sits on its medium board and was instrumental in helping create and host many, many, many episodes of Signs of Life, the Signs of Life radio show. She's also participated in mediumistic research, and she's very interested and remains very interested in the mechanics that make mediumship possible. She does continues to do volunteer work at FFF, and she's based in Connecticut. She does private and group readings, and she could be heard on Connecticut's KISS 95.7 with Courtney and KISS in the morning show. Her website is www.angelina.com. And ladies and gentlemen, as always, our show is commercial-free. No interruptions, so sit back, curl your feet up, nice blanket, pet loved one, have a drink on us, and let us stimulate your intellect for the next hour or so. But before we introduce Angelina, I wanted to remind you guys that it is for research and informational purposes. Your calls are very welcome. So if you do have any questions for our esteemed guest, please feel free to call 1-888-627-6008. 1-888-627-6008. And with all that said, Angela, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me, Roman.
You're very welcome. And again, I apologize for my voice is very rough. I just had this congestion for a long time, and it's affecting my larynx, and nothing serious. It just takes forever to go away when I do get it.
I know it can be tough sometimes. If I could make just a quick correction on my website.
Yes, please.
It's angelinadiana.com, just so that they don't get steered to the wrong website.
Who knows? Angelinadiana.com.
Yeah, I don't know who angelina.com is, so I didn't want to be.
Angelinadiana.com. You see, yeah. I think my larynx is affecting my vision too, or something. My bad. But thank you for correcting that and catching.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, you're very welcome. And we'll get back to that again at the end, just to remind listeners. So how you been?
I'm doing great. Life is good. All is well. I feel honored to be doing this work and trying to help people out as best as I can. Spirit guided, of course. And I just feel really fortunate to be here with you tonight to talk about the work.
Thank you very much. And our listeners definitely appreciate it. Do you notice any difference pre-COVID and post-COVID with your practice?
I would just have to say the biggest difference on a physical world level would be the technology that we use today. Mm-hmm. I that has changed a lot of businesses, and for good or for bad for some. But for myself, it's been quite a learning curve that I think have finally have gotten a handle of. I think the only the drawback is the sense of control one must feel, because everyone treats technology a little differently. But I think the patience of people signing on, and hopefully that the connection is good, can be quite daunting sometimes. And that does, for myself, create sometimes a bit of a disconnect if there's a freeze in the technology. But overall, it's been quite a wonderful addition. I would have to say, post-COVID, I think when it comes to grieving, I've noticed that the affect of those that had to grieve, excuse me, I think you're affecting me there, Roman,
Yeah,
that
you
had
got
to,
exactly what I got.
they had to not be present when their loved one had passed, and the difficulties and the psychological ramifications of that. I can't ever recall prior to COVID hearing from spirit that a loved one had to say goodbye on a telephone, and a nurse was the only one present
Oh boy.
when somebody was passing, because of course during COVID family members weren't allowed into the hospital room. So, there's I think there was some positives from COVID, and definitely some strong negatives in the other direction. But what spirit has always been gifted in making me feel and say, that when you go through difficult times, while the physical will change and will be difficult to grapple with mentally, there will be a spiritual purpose behind it. Certainly doesn't make the grieving any less. But I can certainly see the spiritual purpose and some positives that have come out of post-COVID, so to speak.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, I would, I'm not a medium or anything like that, but I definitely agree with your logic and with your perception. I think a lot of things have changed post-COVID, not just, in terms of mediumship practices, but, most people, a lot of people are, a lot more people are telecommuting, working from home, like myself, for instance.
Oh,
You know,
yeah.
so we're getting more used to the technology, and it's something, it's become a part of your life now,
That's right, for sure.
Yeah,
No choice about it.
absolutely. So yeah, so we've been, getting questions from listeners over the course of time, and Bob is nice enough to send those to me. And yeah, so without it further ado, I'm just gonna shoot some your way. And these are really good questions, some of them, most of them actually. So question number one. And I don't know who sent this in, but this is it. Here it is. If I give a medium a phony name when setting up a reading, would that affect the connections that they make for me?
In my opinion, no. I think the only thing it would affect is if something in the physical world should happen and the medium should have to reschedule. I think because I see it all the time in my practice, and I have no problem with it. I'll get like they'll give me a ridiculous email or a phone number. And I think in the physical world, it just makes it difficult if I'm running late. Like, for example, I had readings before I met up with you today, and I had
Really? Okay.
my first client were a couple, and our session time was an hour, and I ended up going an hour and 20 minutes with them because they ended up having a very serious loss. And I certainly, if someone
Yeah.
is struggling, I don't say, "Oh, gotta go, my next client's here." And I've had times where I said, "Give me 5 minutes." We ran 20 minutes late. I just have to text my next client to tell him I'm
Yep.
running late, and they gave me a bogus phone number and I can't reach them, you know? So yeah. I would say first name, I have names do not affect the outcome of a reading, but I mean, I think just for scheduling purposes to have a way to reach the client in case there's a scheduling difference.
Well, you know what? Whenever I go see a medium, I always give a fake name.
That's fine. Spirit will find.
I know, I'm guilty as charged, but you know what? It's one of those like what ifs, you know, because you can Google my name and you could find out the tragedy that happened to me. And I know that most any medium that is a real medium would not even bother doing that. You're too busy to do that, first of
That's
all.
Correct.
And second of all, you wouldn't do it. But, you know, there might be charlatans out there that hang out a shingle and, you know, pretend to be mediums or, you know, and they might, you know, there's a lot of swindlers out there.
Correct.
There's so many, you know, there's so many princes that from, you know, from Africa that inherited a fortune if they can just get into your bank account so they can deposit all that those millions in there, you know.
Right.
It's amazing.
I hear you.
Folks, if it's too good to be true, usually it is.
Right.
Be careful. Buyer beware. No, I would agree with you because even when I gave fake names, I've gotten successful readings.
Yes,
it's not affected at all.
Okay. I mean, the technical reason for that is I don't feel a medium has the ability to make someone come through. I believe your loved ones are always with you and they stay connected to you. Even after the session is over, I mean, it gets very quiet in my office. If everyone's loved ones stayed with me, I'd have spirits in my room that I didn't know. They stay connected to you. And I feel the reason why they come through when working with a medium is they have an intention. There's a reason at that time that they need to come through. Otherwise, they're with you all the time. So fake name or real name, I don't think it bears anything on the success of a session.
Yep. Yeah. And I wholeheartedly agree with you. So what happens? Do you ever get a client that comes into you for a reading that doesn't believe in the afterlife and the whole concept?
Oh, sure.
You ever get those type of clients?
And I think it's still good to have a healthy amount of skepticism when you sit with any client, any medium. I think there's a difference between being cynical and skeptical. It's hard to sit with someone who's so cynical that they don't want to at least listen. And I've been blessed to be a part of this field since 2001. And I would have to say maybe under five people, I've had to just stop the reading and go, look, you seem very cynical and versus skeptical. And, you know, unless we can, you know, open up just a little bit more and at least hear what I'm saying, and if there's no evidence in the next few seconds, we can stop the session and I'll refund your money and we're done. You know, and the anger or the motivation to debunk versus someone being really hurting or curious or scientific or even skeptical. Those last four mentioned, I have, you know, no, it's usually I've been blessed to work with, but on a very rare occasion, I've had cynical people, and I've had to stop the session and say, here's your money back. It's not for me. It's not worth the energy to try to convince them. I want to help people. And if they're not there for help or for scientific reasons or curiosity, I don't think I politely say it's not worth my time. It's not even worth the money. It's just not.
Right.
Unfortunately, there's too many hurting people out there that need to be served versus someone who is cynical.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I guess that would be like open-minded skeptics and closed-minded skeptics, right?
Yeah, so I don't get to, I appreciate skeptical people as long as they're polite. You know, our dear Fran, who unfortunately passed, she was one of my greatest teachers because of her ability to push the way that I saw spirit or would represent spirit or be honored by spirit. And while she was a believer, she had a healthy, intelligent, highly intelligent form of skepticism. And it made me branch out into being hopefully what is viewed as an evidential medium, and miss her dearly, but forever grateful for that brilliant mind and healthy skepticism that she had. I appreciate it in someone.
And she had a way. She had a way about her.
Oh yeah, and
stories. I mean, fascinating.
Absolutely.
She was amazing.
Yes, and I really, you know, I love hearing yeses as a medium, but I will say to people, you know, if I get something from a loved one in heaven, and you could see the person kind of going, well, maybe. And I'm like, don't make it fit. If it's a no, say it's a no. I'll go back and figure out how I misinterpreted it. And I'll say that to people because I want to figure out, why did I get it that way? You know, why was it that I saw it one way and it ended up being something else? And, you know, it's great to have a certain amount of healthy skepticism. Of
course. By the way, you mentioned friend. That brings back a lot of memories. Did you ever get any signs from Fran? I mean, people at the Forever Family Foundation, everybody,
well, you know, knew her. And... on a personal level, I think so. You know, a little too personal to mention. I also feel that you know, people have a viewpoint that, boy, you're medium. You must be able to reach people that you're missing. And on the contrary, I think it's a struggle for anyone who's grieving, because it's the difference between how the brain works and how our spirit works. You know, even when you're not grieving, we walk around very mind-centric and we're really concentrating on the physicality at hand. And most people rarely have a psychic moment as it is, and then you put on the brain the weight of grief, and even though I think, because I feel honored to be seeing so many clients and seeing the evidence come through, I have no doubt that Fran and all of our loved ones are in a very peaceful, beautiful place. They stay connected to us in the physical, and they also stay connected to those that passed before them. I believe that. You know, I have the peace and the honoring of seeing that every single time I'm honored to sit with a client. But the waves of grief and the heaviness of it, even after all these years, I could still cry. Very much so. She was a mentor to many and a sister to me in many ways. So the grief, I have to admit, is still strong for me on a personal level. I think it's okay to say, you know, I think we have to acknowledge, I think sometimes we have to acknowledge the grief and the physicality so that the spirit can, our spirit can even the playing field a little bit to try to communicate with our loved ones, whether it's looking for physical signs or, you know, when I want to connect to my mom or Fran I lost four friends in the amount of a year and a half. I don't wait for them to communicate with me. I sit down and I talk to them and I see what I see, hear, feel, taste, or smell from them. And I go on a hunt during the day, you know. You know, without getting too specific, sometimes I need the vocality and the strength and the force that Fran is and was here physically. I'm not as forceful in a beautiful way that Fran was. She's a very, was and still is a very passionate person who, when she saw that there was a wrong, she made it right, wanted to change worldview. And when I first met her, I was totally the opposite of that and became a little bit of that through her being a good friend. And when I need a push like that in my life now, I honor her in my friendship by daydreaming or meditating and communicating with her and saying, hey, Fran, my friend, I need to have some strong words today. Send me a sign in my mind or in my heart or in my gut to tell me what I should say or how I should be and show me what I'll see when I'll be there. And 9 times out of 10, I'll walk in that situation and there's that sign she showed me that morning. I'm like, all right,
there you go.
My head, let's go to work, Fran. You know, and that's very personal, but I hope it's helpful because I really believe that everyone that we come in contact with comes into our lives for a reason, good or bad. And I feel that there's a purpose behind it. There's no lesson in losing someone like Fran or my mom or those that beautiful couple that I won't mention a name that I read today that lost a daughter. There's no lesson in losing someone precious like that. But spirit says there's a purpose that we can grab onto to get us through until we see them again. And I believe that when they pass, they do their life review through us. There's no magic television in heaven that says you kick the dog when you're in second grade. I believe that when somebody passes, there is an exchange that happens. We go to the people that passed before us, and we stay connected to the people that we were connected to soulfully in the physical world. And how they grieve for us is how they show us who we were as a person in spirit. And there's a purpose formed by that. And if we take on the purpose, I believe, of why they were in our life or how they enhanced us, or there's even negative teachers of what we shouldn't have been like, but in like to use our dear Fran, she taught me to speak up more and to represent my passions more. And even though I certainly on a physical level found it more easier to have her here to help me do that, I do count on her spiritually. I tune into her, ask her to help me. And I believe we all can do that. We all have a spirit that we can tune into. That's where love lives. That's where patience lives, and kindness and perseverance and wisdom and strength and self-control and even forgiveness and mercifulness and joy live in our spirit. In our mind lives worry, fear, fret, grief, alcohol, depression, the pain of cancer lives in our mind. And so when the physical brain dies, so does the negative. And what's left are those beautiful gifts of the spirit that we can rely on. And while it's hard to do that while you're grieving, I say when you can try to do what I say, give grief a big old black eye and tune into that purpose and how it affects the gifts of the spirit, we somewhat even the playing field of grief. We can't erase it. Grief is something you only learn to manage, in my humble opinion. So we can only even the playing field. And when we even it out, we become more spiritual or mediumistic, or as I like to think when I work with clients or I meditate to feel my mom around me more, I'm going into their world. And we have to do that sometimes to even the playing field of grief. And I always say it's the second best thing until we see them again. And that's how I feel about that.
Well, if you're getting all these signs from Fran, then Bob must be tripping on his own feet every day. I'm sure she's giving him a ton of signs.
Well, I feel for everyone. Grief is so victimizing, and it makes sense. It's normal, and you can't fix normal to think, well, if I just talk to them, I'll be able to sense them. You know, that's a logical thing, right? But when you're dealing with the logic, you're using the mind. We have to be moved by our hearts and our spirit, our own spirits, when we want to connect to a spirit, you know?
Grief is a product of love. If there's no love, there's no grief.
Well, that's true. I agree with that. But I'm saying the function of being a personal medium means you kind of have to negate or put put aside, if you will, or even try to even the playing field of the mind or the grief. Because our logic tells us, well, you're not here, so I can't talk to you. That's logical. But our spirit, our being, the essence of who we are, if we did tune into where love really is, I don't believe love lives in the mind. I believe grief lives in the mind, love lives in the spirit. So if we want to take some, be empowered, because grief is so, I don't know, disempowering, is that a word? It takes away our power. Mm-hmm. If we can empower ourselves where love lives and sit quietly for a few moments and try to do what a medium does, feel them, feel the presence of them, or hear them, or visualize something, or try to ask them, put something in my mind now that I haven't thought about for a while, or what am I going to be seeing today when I have to go in for that big interview, Mom? Make me see something in my mind's eye right now that when I go to work, it'll be there. That, so I know that I'm starting to learn to connect to you in a spiritual way, not just send me that penny, that song on the radio, a feather. I mean, those are classic, beautiful signs. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with looking for physical signs. But what does the brain do as soon as we see a sign? We question it. Is that you? I don't know. Could be, maybe. But if we've already had a conversation with them spiritually and we receive the sign spiritually and there it is in front of us, we can't deny it. And to me, that's what the definition of being a personal medium is. And I believe everyone can do that. And it is that nasty G word that prevents us from...
A lot of that's ego. I think grief and ego go hand in hand. You really have to quiet down your ego to be able to really see, you know, go with the spirit and go with your heart and not the mind.
Yeah, it's true. I agree.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think some people might even avoid going to a medium because of fear of making their grief worse if the medium cannot connect to their loved one?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that that's a normal response. And I think one of the most popular questions I get is, is it too early for me to come and see you? Will my loved one come through? And I personally feel, I mean, a lot of mediums might disagree and science might even disagree, but I feel as soon as the person passes, or even before they pass, if they're unconscious and the brain isn't working anymore, the spirit's released. And I believe they can communicate right away. There's been many stories of people saying, I dreamt of so-and-so and I woke up and found out they passed at the same time. So I feel that the question is asked a lot, and it's more so, I think, psychologically reflecting that fear, because the grief is still very tender and raw. And what if that loved one doesn't come through? So I think it's a normal response, and you have to honor both planes of existence. You have to honor your grief and different personalities, I think, can take it and some can't, and that's okay. I'll never forget Dorothy, who came into my office in 2007, and she was 78 at the time, and she opened the door and she fell to her knees in grief at the door. And I met her at the floor, and I gently tried to get her up to the couch. She was visibly shaken by grief. And I said, ma'am, did you drive yourself here? She goes, absolutely. And I said, are you sure today's the day? Mm-hmm. Having such a reading, your grief is obviously Rosh, goes, "Miss Diana, please read me. I am prepared and ready for any outcome. Just the opportunity that the chance that they might come through is worth it to me." And then there are some that fall to their knees and they desperately say, "I have to hear from this person." I said, "Well, I can't guarantee that. I can't. I have no control over your loved ones. My job is to show you that communication is possible. I hope your loved one comes through."
I think more often than not, they do, right? I mean, is that a fair assessment?
It seems that way. There is an occasion where they don't. I can't. I can't guarantee
it's
that.
It's not a guarantee. I'm just, you know, based on.
I would say the percentage is high. What I do offer, since I've had the honor of being part of the scientific world, I remember a triple blind study that I was involved in. Dr. Gary Schwartz did some studies early on and was eventually handed over to Dr. Julie Beischel.
Julie Beischel, yes. Mm-hmm.
And there was a triple blind study that I was honored to be a part of. Yep. And the first part was me just channeling someone like yourself, and the person would have a sheet in front of them and they would just mark off what was accurate to them at that moment. Mm-hmm. I can get into dazzle shots later if you'd like, but they wouldn't say yes or no. And the second part of the triple blind study was the same participant saying yes or no to whatever I channeled. And then the third part was the scientist coming into the room or over the phone and asking what they called the discarnate, or your loved one from spirit, which is what I like to call them, direct questions. And it was amazing to me. Now, this is not a scientific statement I'm making. This next statement is just a medium making this. But I found it extraordinary that there seemed to be just as much evidence coming through when the roles were reversed and direct questions were asked to that loved one. And to me, on a personal level, not a scientific level, I'm not a scientist, on a personal level, to me, it gave a sense of empowerment back to the griever so much that I decided to incorporate that into my practice, that after I channel and after I give evidence of whoever's coming through, at the end of my channeling, I hand the session over to the person who's grieving and I say, "You have a sensitive in the room with evidence. I'll give you evidence and an answer back to whatever questions you want to ask whomever." And what I have found is evidence comes through almost like a conversation. And recently I had this experience where I'm conversing back and forth and the person said, "You are acting just like them. And you said something 2 minutes ago. And then just before you said it, it was in my mind too." And I said, "That's because you heard them. You heard them at the same time I did." So what I find is it seems spirit seems to want to use me to empower others. I know other mediums do this too, the same philosophy that I'm about to share. I believe that everyone can connect to their own loved ones. That's my belief. Mm-hmm. And I believe by giving a chance at the end of the reading to experiment and try this exercise has brought such a sense of empowerment from my clients. I will get emails back going, "I've been trying it and now it's working. I'm hearing things and now I feel their presence during the day. And now I'm seeing evidence of what they told me." And that's because they're learning. Like a lot of people say, "I talk to them all the time." But I often say back, "Well, do you stop and listen for them?" "No." I'm like, "Well, listen for a response. How are they talking back to you? What are you feeling? What are you hearing? What are you seeing?" So for me personally, I believe that the power to connect isn't with mediums. We're just microphones. We just demonstrate it. The power to connect comes from where the love lives. The love lives in the griever. And to me, just them being present makes mediumship possible, right? You know, for me personally, there's other mediums that are extraordinary. I think I've brought this up before. Janet Mayer has this amazing ability, another certified medium and highly researched medium. She has this incredible ability to channel a few days before the client gets there. I can't do that. I can't. I need the person present. Right. And for me personally, that works. So that to me is, I think, a
so
very
people cross thing. Over. Do they grieve?
I don't believe so. I believe they don't miss you because they're always with you.
Good answer.
That's my ability. I believe grief lives in the physical mind.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Yeah. That totally makes sense. Because the grief lives in the physical mind, and you know, empowerment and love lives in you know, it's more of a spiritual thing.
That's what I believe.
Yeah. Interesting. So, discarnate spirits, how does time work for them? Like, do they know about future events? Can they predict stuff? Are they, you know, how do they know when to show up at the right time? Like, time is a man-made construct. We've invented time to, you know, to capture how the world goes around the sun and the sun around the moon and all that jazz. And we've broken it down into, you know, all the way into seconds and milliseconds. But I don't think that, you know, in the non-physical world, that doesn't matter anymore. So how do they interpret time?
Well, I think it all comes down to the purpose of what that particular loved one is doing in the physical and also in heaven or paradiso or the other side, whatever your belief system is. You know, I'm not a quantum physicist, so it would be very difficult for me to explain that aspect of things. What I believe is the internal entanglement of what love creates. So let's put it in the viewpoint of something physical that we've had happen to us if you're of a certain age. I remember as a kid, we used to have this square thing on the wall and it had a dial in it. And you could dial these numbers and call someone. It was called a home phone. And what would happen sometimes is you'd be sitting down and all of a sudden you'd have this urge to call someone. And you'd pick up the phone and they were on the other line. It didn't even ring. Did that ever happen to you? I don't know if. Back in the older days. So to me, what happened there? That's telepathy, I would think, in that, let's say I'm sitting down and I think of my sister Janine, and my Janine, let's say I'm the sender and Janine's the receiver. So I sent this thought of, gee, I wonder how Janine is doing. And then she goes, oh, I got this thought about Angelina. I wonder how she's doing.
Yeah.
We both go to the phone at the same time, and there we are.
Yeah.
Well, to me, that entanglement is not only stronger because you're all spirit, it's more, for lack of a better word, more psychically connected. So to me, it's not a matter of time, but a matter of connection. See, we put it in our minds as time, because we created time. but to a loved one in spirit, the entanglement doesn't die. So here I am, let's say, for example, this year will be the 20th anniversary of my mother's passing on April 6th. And she passed the same age I am now. And so this year has been filled with a lot of touchy moments of, I like to call it re-grief, you know, like, you know, because we have this time thing in our head, 20 years, and I'm the same age my mom was, you know, and we put that upon ourselves because of this reified version of Earth. that we've created.
Yeah, we give it more meaning than it should. Hey, we actually got a caller. Would
Oh,
you like
good.
to talk about it?
Yes,
So
I would.
we have Angela from Connecticut on line one. So let's hear from Angela. Angela, are you there?
I am here. Good evening.
Hi.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity. So I
Absolutely.
called in because of a series of events. I went to my Facebook and I saw your notice that you were on today and just flipping through. And then I realized today is my mom's birthday. She's been dead since 1995. But I thought it might be a little call from her to call you.
Oh, well, how
So here I
sweet.
am.
Wow.
That's awfully nice.
And I believe that we are all here, but on different planes.
Oh, okay.
So, when I had my sister's kids here, when their grandma passed away, her mother-in-law, and I said at the time, it's, your grandmother will always be here. Think of her as in the closet now. So that's, I just felt I needed to call, which is interesting. So I think it goes a little bit to what you were discussing about, one
Yeah.
person goes to the phone and the other person goes to the phone.
Angela, I want you to be thinking about, like, recap what made you go to the Facebook page and what drew you there. Because I believe our loved ones can give us little whims. You know, they could kind of give you these little whispers, and then that we have this need to go do something or we feel drawn to something. The brain will always say, "Oh, I thought of that," or "That's just wishful thinking." But that's how the brain ruminates because we can't explain all of these things that happen that seem coincidental. But I believe that your mom gave you that little whim to go to the Facebook page and to maybe make you recall, "Oh, yeah, it's your anniversary." Thanks, Mom. So I feel like it's a little wink from Mom. It can happen to anybody, but we have to be aware of, the little pushes and the little put just like little hugs that we get from to bring us to certain places to be remembered. Thank you for sharing that. I really appreciate that, Angela.
Thank you
Well,
for
thank
calling
you
it.
for sharing your talents, and I appreciate it, and I appreciate the little whisper. And I think, at least for me, being open to these sorts of things has been a wonderful guidepost for my life. My mother died, and I was still building a family, still building a career, and she was pretty smart and insightful. And I still believe she guides me, so I do appreciate your gifts.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And thanks for calling in. I really appreciate that.
My
Thank you, Angela.
pleasure. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk to you this
Of
evening. I
course.
appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take care. Well, that was a nice little kind of something to prove what you were saying about entanglement, and
Right.
just calling in, and it was right on topic. Perfect timing.
See how spirit works?
Yeah, absolutely. It's great. It's great. So yeah, hey, do you we have actually another call.
Sure.
You feel like taking another call?
Of course, I
Okay.
love calls.
Great. All right. So we have Amul from Ohio on line two. Amul, are you there?
Yes,
Hello.
I'm here.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. I had some questions. One
Right.
is so if I get a reading from a medium and the person I want to know about she does not come. What does that mean? That she doesn't love me, or she doesn't want to talk, or what?
Oh, Emil, no, that's not what it means. In my humble opinion, I believe in a couple of things. Number one, I believe in the fragility of humans, in that a medium is not the end all of communication, number one. And I believe also that whomever did come through, even though the heart wants to hear from who you want to hear from, if there was evidence of the other loved ones coming through, sometimes that might mean spiritually what we might need to hear at that moment. And the third thing could be that the medium missed your loved one. If we all started talking, the producer, Roman, and myself, all at the same time, you might not be able to discern everything that we're saying, right?
Yeah.
It's sometimes similar to what a medium goes through. I could start a session with someone and feel three people all at once. And the only thing that, and every medium works differently, by the way. What I've experienced in the 22 years I've been doing this is not the end all of mediumship, but in my experience, three people could come through at the same time. And all I can go off of at that point is, why are there three people and who has the strongest intention that I can start honoring? And that one intention might be what spirit is intending at that time. It's not a punishment. It's not that they don't love you. Could it be that that third person's intention is so strong that maybe two other people, I only hear a couple of things from, and maybe you wanted to hear more from that other person because that's who you expected to hear from. That's very possible. We miss things as mediums. We don't get it all. It's not the same as you and I hear each other. It's not the same for a medium. We don't have this amazing ability to, or gift to hear every single thing that a loved one is saying. We have an ability which is developed, and it's not fully developed until we pass. We'll all be great mediums after we die. So please don't see it as a reflection of not love. See it as the fragility of how a medium works and the intention of spirit. Just make sure if you ever go to a medium, there has to be evidence of something. Hope that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah. So the communication between the spirit and the medium, is that always through some words or some symbols, or sometimes can the medium just get a feeling of what the spirit wants to say?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Tell them about the clairs.
Sure. Well, not every medium works with the five clairs, as we call them. Clair is French for clear, and there are five abilities that you can develop. I tend to work with five clairs. So I will feel the presence of spirit and sometimes feel how they passed. It's all up to their intention.
Clairsentience.
And then there's clairaudience, which is clear hearing. I can hear words, names, songs, tone of voice. There's clairvoyance, which is a very popular one. It's the ability to see clearly in your mind's eye. Like if I told you to picture a beach right now, you could. Then there's clairalience, which is the ability to smell energy, believe it or not. There's also clairambiance, which is the ability to taste things. So for me personally, and every medium works with them or some don't, and some work with them in a very unique way. For myself, usually how they come through will tell me a little bit about their personality and who they are. That doesn't mean that's the way, like if I only feel a loved one, it doesn't mean you could never hear from them. I think that's a trap that some grievers, unfortunately, get caught up in, that they'll say, oh, the medium only felt my loved one, so they'll never be able to talk to me. And that's not true. Because just think, there's no one on the planet like you or myself. They'll never be again. So how we sense things will be different. And you will find that most mediums are very different in how they work. I find the variety very interesting. I mentioned Janet Mayer. She's an extraordinary medium. I admire her greatly. But I can't work like she does. And I think there's a reason for that. We're all unique.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Is Janet Mayer with Family Foundation?
Oh, yes. She is an extraordinary medium and a colleague. If you go to www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org, you'll see herself and myself and many other mediums that have been certified by the foundation. She's also written a fabulous book, too. So I highly recommend her.
Oh, okay.
Thank you very much for your call.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. Have a great evening. So, Angelina. Okay. Good night. I have Melanie on line one. So, Melanie, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you
Welcome
hear
to the
me?
Show, Melanie. Yes, we can hear you.
Thank
Loud
you.
And clear.
I know there's not a ton of time, but I just wanted to, I love this conversation and appreciate all the openness. For me, my daughter crossed 3 years ago, February, but the grief for me, I define it specifically as the deep sad because I'm in agreement. It's like a fog that blocked the communication for me. And so as we shift ourselves and our thinking, I think that lightens and we can do our own communicating. But the other, I don't want to call it a peeve, but I think, again, personally for me, and I'm not a medium, but when people say, oh, well, I believe that maybe it exists, our love's energy coming, you know, being right around us, I think we need to shift the language to, for me, when I shifted to, I know she's here, it just became so much easier to hear her and to get the messages. That it's just a small thing, but I just wanted to comment on that and see what you all think about that. Just like
knowing
shift.
Is stronger than believing. Knowing is much more powerful than believing. Am I right, Angelina?
Well, I get that, but most people say, well, I believe maybe they're here, or I believe they could be here. That's what I'm saying. It's the individual who wants to connect. When you shift to, I know they're here, I think maybe it opens it up a little bit. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, I agree with you. And where do you think, this is brilliant. Where do you feel knowing lives? The knowing.
It's our intuition.
And where do you think intuition lives?
Well, it's that mix, right? Our spirit, our heart and our spirit.
In our spirit. So when you say, I know you are here, you're switching right into your spirit. Knowing to me doesn't live in the mind. The mind is a rumination factory. You know, it's just and I'm so sorry to hear about the loss of your daughter. It's a very difficult journey. You're a hero to me that you're even standing, and the fact that you're so brilliant in honor of your daughter to have that knowing, your brilliance to me. In switching the language to me means I really feel that knowing doesn't come from the mind. It's this sensation in your spirit, and then you vocalize it. I know you're here. Some people might argue it's psychological, but I feel it's spiritual. I think you switched it, and I agree with you 150%. And I think it's a very brilliant thing. Thank you for sharing that.
Oh, well, thank you for the kind words. And yeah, just I think what I've found is not in my circle, but societally in Western culture, we don't embrace that, the acceptance of that knowing.
Exactly. And not many people, unfortunately, well, I should say fortunately, but most people that say that, I'm sure, have not lost a daughter. They've never felt the depth of grief, the nothingness that you have felt. So I think when some people say, I'll say it, stupid things, it's because they've just not experienced the loss. So thank you for being the hero that you are.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that's a great point.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for the show. I know it's late, so I'm going to hang up. Appreciate you both.
Take care. Take care. That was a nice call. And yep, we do have about 30 seconds left in the show. So I just want to let people know your website, www.angelinadiana.com. I got it right this time.
Thank you, Robin.
if they, you know, I'm sure they can get in contact with you from there. And we appreciate you being, you know, all your help and you being part of the whole Step Forever Family Foundation thing. And, you know, and I can't wait to talk to you again.
Well, thank you, Roman, for the opportunity, and thank you for doing the work that you do. Appreciate
it. You're very welcome. All right, everybody, that's it for today's show. Stay tuned for you know, we have the show every Thursday. Signs of Life, it varies, but I'll be back in a month. And until then, just know that your loved ones are a heartbeat away, as dear old Fran used to say, and that science is going to prove it one day. Good night, everybody.